St. Luke wrote the first reading in the gospel. We don't often get the first reading and the gospel from the same author, but today we do. Luke was the only gospel writer who was not a Hebrew or a Jew. He was probably a Greek-speaking Christian from the city of Antioch in Syria. St. Paul referred to him as a physician, so he was well-educated, and he wrote and spoke excellent Greek, and the books he wrote were written originally in Greek. Some have called Antioch the cradle of Christianity, since it was from Antioch that St. Paul and St. Barnabas were sent out by that church there to evangelize the rest of the Gentile world. Antioch was a Greek-Roman city. It was probably the place where the governor of Rome for all of Palestine worked. It was a center of commerce and culture. Luke became a companion of St. Paul in his mission travels afterwards. As the author of both Acts of the Apostles and the Gospel of Luke, he probably wrote over 25% of the entire New Testament. You put those pages together, Luke was prolific. His sources probably included, in addition to St. Paul, St. Barnabas, who was sent out by the apostles of Jerusalem, St. Mark, his cousin, who also accompanied St. Peter and Paul, St. Peter and the other apostles. He may have met the Virgin Mary since he was back and forth between Antioch and Jerusalem. Luke probably traveled to Jerusalem. We know that Peter and other apostles traveled to Antioch, so there was traffic between them. Antioch was about 500 miles from Jerusalem by land, but it was on the coast, up close to what we call Turkey now, the Syrian coast on the Mediterranean, right by Turkey, about 500 miles north by land, but much faster by sea, and there was a very active commerce by sea, so it wouldn't have taken quite so long to get back and forth between one and the other. In today's reading, we hear the end of Luke's gospel and recounting Jesus' ascension to heaven near Jerusalem in Bethany, just across a small valley. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands and blessed them. And as he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. So Luke is clearly making that the capstone of his gospel, the ascension. In the first reading from Acts of the Apostles, we hear Luke referring back to that story of the ascension. He uses it to open up Acts of the Apostles. And so this is obviously an important event for Luke. In his first account of the ascension, saying, in the first book, Theophilus, referring back to his gospel, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up. And that's exactly what he did. That's where the gospel ends. And that's where Acts begins. Now, we don't know who Theophilus was. There are a lot of theories, but the connection between Luke's two books is the ascension. That's the linchpin. That's how important it is. Many people, including Catholics, tend to have a more limited view of Jesus' ministry, and they see it only in terms of his birth, his miraculous ministry, his crucifixion, and the resurrection. However, that is just a little too limited, and it's lacking the fuller picture of Jesus' ministry and the Paschal mystery. The story is not complete without the ascension. You can't stop at the resurrection. There's no stopping point there. He resurrected and stayed with his apostles. After Jesus' resurrection, he ascended back to the Father and sits at the right hand of God. And then Jesus and his Father sent the Holy Spirit to the church about 9 days later. That our concept of novena is from the 9 days between Ascension Thursday, which we've moved to Sunday, and Pentecost. That's 9 days. Can you imagine waiting those 9 days and not knowing Jesus promised something? Was it going to come tomorrow? Well, maybe the next day. Well, maybe the next day. And what was left to them? To pray. There was nothing else left for them to do. And wait. And learn patience. And then, boom, comes the Holy Spirit in the Pentecost. And we're going to celebrate that event next weekend. For now, let's contemplate the ascension. And the important fact of the ascension, this is really, really important, that there's a human being residing in the Holy Trinity, a human being with flesh and bone and blood, because Jesus ascended body and soul. Jesus resurrected body and soul. He stayed with his disciples and he ate with them and taught with them, and some say as many as 500 people saw him, and they attest to the fact that he had wounds and that they could put their finger in his wounds. That's what Thomas was trying to tell us. And now, after 40 days, he's ascending to the Father, and there is a flesh-bearing human person in the Holy Trinity, sitting at the right hand of the Father with the Holy Spirit. Now, God took body and soul, Jesus, into heaven. Jesus ascended into heaven, body and soul. And then he assumed his mother with him, body and soul. That's to teach us a very important lesson about our own salvation. There will be a resurrection for us, body and soul, because in the Blessed Trinity there is a human being. Very important fact. And he has his mother, whom he took flesh from, with him in heaven. We believe in the Holy Trinity. We are Trinitarians. We say it every time we open and close a prayer in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It is the ascension of Jesus that we celebrate today, the final act of Jesus before reuniting with the Father and the Holy Spirit in heaven. Our church bears witness to Jesus' ascension. We receive his flesh mystically every time we celebrate the Holy Mass. This is to give us hope, because Jesus went there, body and soul. Mary went there, body and soul. We receive his flesh as food for the journey, because he said, "Follow me," all the way to heaven and eternal life. Amen.